Support for the Claim a Stories podcast and the following message comes from 99 Designs by Vistaprint. With a worldwide community of more than 150,000 talented freelance designers, 99 Designs by Vistaprint is the global creative platform that makes it easy for small businesses to work with creative experts and build their brand through custom, memorable design. Learn more at 99designs.com. I believe in this person. Yeah. This is who you need to work with. This is who's up next. It does so much. And you can't, you know, no one can do anything on their own. You need the
you
right
need
people.
The squad.
Yes.
And I always, that's one thing I always advocate for is finding the team and, you know, sticking together and like working for each other too.
Yeah.
You know, what is the goal that you want to do? What's
exactly.
the goal that I want to do? When we're in this space, all right, how can I
can help,
help you? When we're in your space, how can I help you? So, I mean, all those things, I mean, really make for a solid team, because I think also working at RSVP, you saw how Don is with Kanye and Virgil, and you're like, that man is successful. Also, his team is successful.
successful.
You know, and you're like, wow, like to see, again, men like that flourish and create
what
pretty much
see the
what
landscape is up today.
Exactly. Exactly. It's crazy.
This is Claim a Stories, a show about leading and emerging BIPOC creatives and how they're able to claim their dream careers.
Tell me where you wanna go, where you wanna be. I can help you claim a seat, get you on your feet. Tell me where you wanna go, where you wanna be. I can help you claim a seat, yeah. Tell me where you wanna go, where you wanna be. I can help you claim a seat, get you on your feet. Tell me where you wanna go, where you wanna be. I can help you claim a seat.
I'm Bima, and on today's show, recorded in her mobile podcast studio, Storyteller, I sit down with Aleli May, model, stylist, and fashion designer, who has worked with some of the cornerstones of streetwear and has been called the Queen of Sneakers by ESPN magazine. She puts her spin on some of the most iconic Jordan silhouettes and is always dressed for her younger self. Born and raised in South Central LA, she loved taking on a challenge and facing it head on, whether it was riding bikes with the boys in her neighborhood or learning a dance routine with the girls. She never backed down from a challenge. Aleli's style and perspective is a giant mixing bowl of her upbringing. The LA influence from the Slauson Supermall, her dad's interest in bike club culture, her uncle starting her love of Jordans, her granny's flair for glamour, and her mother's Sade-inspired fashion. After finishing high school in Colorado, she moved to Chicago to attend Columbia College Chicago. With no friends and family in the city, she built her community at a streetwear boutique, RSVP Gallery. After showing up at local meet and greets, the shop's owner, Don C., noticed her from Tumblr and offered her a job. This was during a time when Chicago culture was on the rise in fashion, with Virgil Abloh's Pyrex and Don C.'s Just Don hats. And in music, Chief Keef was leading the Chicago drill movement. While working at RSVP, she'd meet people at Nike that would eventually go on to develop relationships with folks at Jordan Brand, where she would begin to change women's sneaker culture as we know it. In our conversation ahead, Aleli shares a story about being interested in fashion at a young age.
South Central LA, I mean, I think, you know, growing up, you didn't know anything else.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, let's just think of, you know, we're growing up, we're going to school, we're... You know, being a kid, being outside, that's when kids were playing outside still.
Oh, my goodness.
this is for me having a little brother experience.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, you know, and I feel like I was always trying to play with anyone. Gender
didn't matter.
If the boys were on bikes, I was like, take off my training wheels, Dad.
Yeah, I'm
like,
going.
I'm going. If... You know, we were doing something else, or if there was, you know, the girl across the street, you know, it was a great time. And I feel like I was always around fashion, but you had your hood fashions.
Oh yeah.
Like your Slauson swap meets. And,
yes.
You know, I always had a nameplate necklace. I always had bamboo earrings. I always had M&M race car jackets and, you know, just those types
those
of things,
yeah.
You know? So for me, it was natural. also going to school. It's an area. It's called the Jungles.
Okay.
So if you've seen Training Day, it's that area.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And that's where my elementary school was, Hillcrest Elementary, which I mentioned in the Califia campaign. Yep. And, you know, going there, it was like, you were young, but you were definitely pulling up, like, still fresh, you know. Girls still had Jordans. Yeah. They still had their Forces. Hmm. It was like you wear a uniform, but you don't wear a uniform. You don't have to really.
Oh, it was, I remember that because growing
one
up,
of those.
Like, you had the choice of, like, either uniform or you can wear what you want.
Free dress or mix it. Whatever. Yeah, right, it was like, just come to school. But yeah, it was definitely pulling up. All the other girls had it. So you're like, oh my gosh, Eminem race car jackets are in. I have to go to Sloth Swap Meet and
gotta
get it. Like, so these are my first encounters, you know, with fashion. Slouch socks, you know, things like that. So
it's crazy to like be exposed to that at that age, right? But it's not even like, you're not thinking about it as like the way we would think about it today. You're just like, yo, I'm just trying to get fresh so I can go to school.
Exactly. Because again, everyone else is pulling up, you know, fresh braids. Alicia Keys was hot. So I definitely had Alicia Keys braids with the beads. Yep. You know, we were just trying to, you know, work it out.
I like it.
And yeah, I think definitely as far as like my age group for sure, but then also my family. So I have my dad, which was, he was a Rough Rider. He was like the super cool, super LA, like you could always see him in corduroy slippers and Dickies and you know, he was that kind of guy. His younger brother, so about 10 years younger, in high school, that was the guy who bought me all Jordans. So he was like, I'm fresh. My little niece fresh.
Gonna be fresh, yeah.
I'm about to pull up, you know. So, yeah, he definitely kept me, like, always you know, kind of in the know.
Yeah.
And then all his friends would come over the house, over my grandmother's house. So that was a thing.
Yep.
You know, I was always around, like, older, super cool people. And I think naturally it was just as, like, it's my tribe, you know?
Yeah,
so it was like, you gotta be fresh.
Yeah, you're influenced by like those different styles. And,
you know, and Granny was always like supportive too, because she was definitely more of like the furs and the, you know, the bags and designer, Coco Chanel perfume, like, you know? So again, all of these influences, my mom definitely, you know, she's from Manila. She moved here early teens.
Okay.
And she was very much into Sade. So
wow.
You had her with like the ponytail, red lip. Again, these are all influences in my life that I feel like, you know, depends on like the circumstance. I feel like I definitely cater to, you know, whatever, whoever.
Yeah.
That is, and to kind of apply it to my life now. So I definitely draw those inspos. And then you have your people that you know, and then your people you look up to.
Of course, from afar.
Whole bedroom wall was Aaliyah. Like, it was just posters on posters on posters. My mom was like, are
What's
you okay?
On?
Like, you know. You really, you know, it's like, this is me, you know, but that's like the first form of representation without even knowing representation as a word.
And then also you think about some of those figures you just mentioned, you know, from Sade to Aaliyah. They were vastly different from a lot of the images that we saw in fashion, entertainment, art, like all those spaces. And to think about that and think about like all the other influences you have, it's kind of like, it kind of was like a direction was already forming.
Exactly. Like foundation was laid. And, you know, really, again, it was finding what kind of girl I wanted to be. And as I got older, like these things kind of just came back around. And I feel like I never wanted to go outside of that box. Like, obviously, for photo shoots, you know, always down to experiment and things. But I guess as far as like my personal style, it's just very deeply rooted in like who I always was as a young girl and kind of still like that young girl and who she wanted to be. You know, even at the time, I always used to say like, oh my gosh, like, I know I can't sing, but like Kamora Lee Simmons is also, she's a model, a fashion designer. So for me, it was kind of just being under the umbrella of fashion.
Yeah.
And which actually is like what I do today.
Right. So you knew like at like what would you say at like what age you kind of knew like the direction of a career you wanted to go into?
I would probably say in middle school, my stepmom actually, she would buy me a lot of magazines. You know, Jet, she would always get, they would always be in the bathroom. But once that Aaliyah one came on, she was like, you can have this one for your room.
She was like, it wasn't gonna stay here anyway.
Exactly. So there was like that. But then she would buy me Teen Vogue magazines, like 17. You know, things like that where I was just, again, looking through these pages. And this is the first time I'm seeing like Chanel Iman, Jordan Dunn, you know, and I'm just, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is,
but
I like this. And I just would make mood boards. I would draw like just little figures with like clothes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it was just, again, it was really like the first times I was like experiencing just fashion as a young girl. I think I was really self-conscious about, you know, being skinny and not looking a certain way and things like that. So I definitely liked the baggier fit.
Yeah.
So it would make me feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But I think as I dived more into fashion, I was like, wow, I really want to try new things, but then kind of mix it with what I already have.
Right.
Which actually still brings me back to those girls that I looked up to. Because now that I'm older, I'm like, wow, that was Roberto Cavalli. Wow, that was Louis Vuitton. That was, you know, so yeah, it just keeps going in
evolves,
your circle. Like,
right.
Yeah. And it, again, it evolves with age, with confidence, with experiences, you know.
It happens. Speaking of experiences, you left South Central to go to college in Chicago.
Yeah, so my dad was in the Army.
Okay.
He was stationed in Colorado.
Okay.
So when I was pretty much going into high school, I wanted to live with my dad. I'm a daddy's girl, so shout out to all the girl dads out there. So yeah, I went to go live with my dad in Colorado, so I went to high school out there. And after that, I was like, definitely not here.
What was it? It just wasn't enough going on.
I think it was just too slow for me. Again, this is a young girl wanting to be a fashion girl.
Yeah.
She definitely needs to like be in a bigger city.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like New York probably would have been too crazy of a leap, so I went to Chicago first.
Okay. Well, I mean, Chicago still had
a
bit going on.
And then you could go, you know, you're like slowly moving over. But honestly, Chicago was, I mean, I had no friends or family when I went there, but that day I like moved into the dorms and I like looked out the window. I was like, all right, here we go.
Here we go.
Set the intention.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to come from here, but it feels like you need something here, you know, in order to move forward.
Yeah. What did you decide to major?
Marketing.
Okay.
Yes. Not fashion, because I think at the time I was, you know, definitely naive, but like I was also like, I don't think people could tell me about the type of fashion that I like. But
anyway,
this is also before streetwear was where it is today.
100%.
You
folks
know?
Weren't even calling it that. And like,
yeah,
there was only like a handful of, I feel like when you got into different pockets of different cities, there's only a handful of us that understood
really
the subculture was happening.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Your Tumblr friends that you were like, we're on the same, we repost the same Pharrell images, you know, like, so, you know, that whole vibe. And 2 months probably before I moved, I stumbled across RSVP Gallery Tumblr. And I was like, I was like, wait, this is a store. This is fresh. I was like, oh, and they're in Chicago. I'm going to go visit when I move. Not knowing anything, you know. So probably like 2 weeks after I moved to Chicago, some of the people that I met there in the dorms, they were like, oh, we're going to go to this place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they're like, yo, Lupe be having his clothing line in there and like Cause and Goyard trunks. It's just images you saw on the internet and you're like, I didn't even know that a place like this can exist.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like a museum.
Like at that point, you know, there was like the phase of just sneaker boutiques, right? And they were like, you know, phase one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to like transform into these, I don't even want to call it streetwear boutiques, but just like, you know, boutique, very, like, bespoke niche clothing.
Yeah. For kids like us that brought in so many cultures. Again, you saw a Goyard trunk, but you saw BBC shirts in it. You're like, again, I've never seen this unless it was on Pharrell himself.
Exactly. It was like Pharrell's closet had made it into a
exactly a shop. Like Pharrell, Kanye, you know, all these pivotal people that, you know, we pretty much still look to for influence. And yeah, I think going there, the first time I went there, we just kind of looked and it was kind of like, don't touch anything. It's like a museum in here. It was beautiful, you know. But the second time we went, actually, NERD had like an in-store. And then the third time we went, I was standing outside because Kid Cudi and Chip the Ripper were doing it in-store. So definitely we're fans.
Yes,
and the night of Watch the Throne Chicago, me and my friends were like, Ivan Jasper's having his bracelet, you know, in-store. We're going to go.
Yeah.
And then that's when I met Don and his wife, Kristen, and, you know, all these great Chicagoans. And literally Don's like, hey, see you on the internet. You're fresh. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Like, I was like, you know. And that's the thing. It's like really cool to get acknowledged, you know, and then you're kind of like, I'm doing something right. I'm here for a reason. It's just very reassuring. And after that, they were like, yeah, would you want to work here? I'm like, whoo. I was like, okay, let me break it down to y'all. Go to school full time. Also work at Louis Vuitton full time.
Wow.
Only have like 1 to 2 days off. He was like, that's cool. And I was like, oh, okay. He was like, you know, we're trying to really build and bring in all our Power Rangers and, you know, create this great force.
Of course.
And I was like, I'm down.
Yo. And so then you just RSVP Gallery.
Yep. So I was working both for a minute. And then, you know, I wasn't really happy just working in sales at Louis Vuitton. I just felt like I needed to be in the streets. Yeah. I was young.
Yeah. I needed to be connected to what was happening.
You know.
And it probably at that point, right, Louis wasn't what it associated with it is today.
I guess it was probably the endings of Marc Jacobs era, which was amazing because I learned so much, even just about the brand in general, but also about Marc Jacobs.
Yeah.
But after that, even the people in there, they were like, gee, you got to be outside. And I was like, I know, right? So I told Easy, he actually owns Infinite Archives now and Anthony Gallery, but he was a manager at RSVP. Okay. So I was like, hey, look, I'm trying to transition. You know, I don't feel like working at Louis Vuitton is doing enough for me. But when I'm here, I feel like, you know, it's in the body. It's in the feeling. It's just a great feeling.
Yeah.
You know you're in the right place.
Right, right. 100%.
And so he was like, all right, like, if you want to start out as an intern and then, you know, maybe move into a position, cool. So got there. We were doing everything, you know, the packaging to the modeling, the clothes. At the time, Givenchy is coming in.
Wow.
You know, Pyrex, Just Don hats.
Yeah.
These are, it's the start. Chief Keef was hot.
Jeez.
Just so coming on the scene. You know, this is 2010, 2011.
Yeah. Oh my God. What a great period of time.
It was a great period for Chicago. I mean, and it I really learned a lot about Jordan Brand as well, too. So all these things came into fruition, and Easy's actually the one who introduced me to Nike people.
Wow.
So not knowing that, let's say, 2015, 2016, he was going to say, hey, you remember G-Mo and Frank?
Yep.
And it was like, they want to talk to you.
Wow.
So, boom. This
is
how
you know, what's so important about that is, you know, a lot of times when I'm talking, people hit me up about, like, whether they're trying to get in the industry or do whatever, I'm like, that part about having someone that can advocate for you and be like, no, I believe in this person.
Yeah.
This is who you need to work with. This is who's up next. It does so much. And you can't, you know, no one can do anything on their own. You need the
you
right
need
people.
The squad.
Yes.
And I always, that's one thing I always advocate for is finding the team and, you know, sticking together and, like, working for each other, too.
Yeah.
You know, what is the goal that you want to do? What's
exactly.
the goal that I want to do? When we're in this space, all right, how can I
help
you? when we're in your space, how can I help you? So, I mean, all those things, I mean, really make for a solid team, because I think also working at RSVP, you saw how Don is with Kanye and Virgil, and you're like, that man is successful. Also, his team is successful. You know, and you're like, wow, like to see, again, men like that flourish and create what, pretty much.
You see the what, landscape is up today.
Exactly. Exactly. It's crazy.
Tell me how, so you're there, you're learning a ton. You're getting exposed to a ton of different things.
Yes.
How'd you end up back in LA?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I reached a cap.
Okay.
With Chicago. Mm-hmm. I felt like, all right, what's next for me?
Yeah.
And again, still really trying to be that fashion girl. Mm-hmm. I was like, I like New York and I visit there a lot, but something is telling me to go back home. It was like that same gut feeling that told me to go to Chicago.
Yep.
I felt it again and I knew exactly what it was. And I was like, I think I need to go home, rekindle. I kind of wanted to be an adult in the city where I'm from, because that's a different experience.
Different experience, 100%.
And really just own that.
When we come back, Aleli follows her gut home and takes off like a rocket. For this week's Community Stories feature, presented by 99 Designs by Vistaprint, let's hear from Vivi Pacciulli, a leather goods designer based out of New York. Experiencing a tough childhood and growing up homeless, Vivi shares a story about creating leather goods and working with 99 Designs to refresh her brand.
I lived on the streets from a young age. I was passed around in foster homes, often before the age of 9. At 9, I was sentenced and did a 5.5-year bid. So, you know, life was chaos, dangerous. I often felt alone and unwelcomed in this world. At the same time, I was heavily influenced by my native culture, being on the rise and attending Indian magnet schools. Just the moments of sitting in a circle and listening to our elders tell stories, and the love for nature, people, and Mother Earth. Having these moments and feeling inspired in nature and listening to the elders stays with me to this day. Prior to the idea of the brand, I was working in finance. Although making good money, I just felt dead, not inspired. I've had a lot of good people around me and creatives, and I was like, I want to make leather goods, something that stands the test of time, can tell a story. I started hanging out a lot with friends from New York and other creatives, and I moved to New York at the start of 2012, and 3 days later entered into a 2-year apprenticeship with leather craftsman Carlo Basilia. So 2014 was when I launched, and it was the same year I launched the Global Internship Program. Why I created it was not just to create products and have this aesthetic, as I was never really into fashion, still am not, just like to create things, but for the community, and I think it also gives a platform to tell a story and engage with others and inspire others and also be inspired by communicating and merging with other creatives.
For Vivi, COVID-19 created manufacturing difficulties in her business and many delays.
It was difficult because manufacturing stopped and I had pre-orders that were, you know, already paid for, and there was a time period in which I was given by the manufacturer to deliver products. So, you know, I had to go follow up with my clients and let them know what was going on. And there was really no ETA on when production would be done. And I really just try to stay inspired, getting inspired with nature or heading to the Rockaways and surfing. Really big into surfing and bodyboarding and longboarding with my kid. So I could continue to sketch and drop ideas onto the iPad and not stop moving just because the rest of the world seemed to have stopped.
Excited to refresh her brand, Vivi speaks joyfully about her experience creating a new logo with 99 Designs and how she'll use the grant money.
Where was 99 Designs when I started my brand? When I started my brand to create a logo, I think it took me 2 years just to get it right. So working with on the 99 Design platform has just been an amazing experience. The designers had a quick turnaround time. They were on point with the inspiration and uploads that I sent to them and the communication. The platform really inspired me to actually restart my global internship program, just working with the designers. And it's really just effortless for to be a brand owner and creator and have these designers, at our fingertips. It's just a brilliant platform. I'm really enjoying working and utilizing 99 Designs. Being able to tell my story and my truth and hopefully inspire others to create their world despite challenges, pain, loss in life, not having the tools that they think they need to have to be successful and create. I really believe in the fact that you can create something from nothing. You know, during the pandemic, Black Lives Matter came up, the George Floyd, there was a lot of things that put POC creatives and our lives in the forefront of things. And I think now people are paying attention to us more and they're seeing who we are and they're seeing what we have and, you know, that we matter. Whatever tools that I can provide and offer the youth in my community is what matters most to me. It's a gem.
That was Vivi Pacciulli, a leather goods designer based out of New York. Learn more about 99 Days of Design, a 99 Designs by Vistaprint initiative at 99designs.com/99days of design. Hey, it's Bima. Welcome back to Claim a Stories. Alalia has just returned home to LA and things are picking up with Jordan Brand.
So I moved back home in 2013.
Wow. So you're back home 2013. You're starting to get more acclimated back with things as an adult.
Yeah.
Easy makes this introduction into Jordan Brand. And, just looking through everything when I was in the details, you know, you're the second woman to collaborate with Jordan, right?
Yes.
And then you're the first to dive into unisex sneakers. Mm-hmm. Today I know you're rocking the 14s, the Fortune 14s. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the Friends and Family 4s that were inspired by your dad. Tell me kind of like what led on the path of unisex and, you know, as an adult, how do sneakers fit into your world?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, sneakers been a part of my world since before I can even comprehend. My uncle was like, I think the first ones I bought when you were born were like the 7s or something. I was like, okay, legendary. Yeah. This is a great silhouette and a great shoe, great story, you know.
Right.
Pretty much, wow. I'm like, definitely sneakers has always been a part of
you.
Alalia.
Yes.
Because I was not advocating for heels at one point, just because I'm like, I don't know, it hurts. I don't get it, you know. But now, as a motor, I'm like, ooh, these are cute. Yeah. She's going to get a look off, you know. Again, still like in the fashion realm.
Right.
Like, so there's like these two parts of Alalia that go back and forth, and we always try to figure out what's the best for whatever look we're going for.
Totally.
But yeah, I think really it was, I just wanted to start styling. Mm-hmm. I wanted to start modeling. Mm-hmm. I moved back home 2 weeks after I moved back home. Kendrick's manager walks in to 424 on Fairfax,
wow,
which I was working there at the time. I know the owner. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, Guillermo, I'm moving back to LA. Can I work at your store until I like get on my feet?
Right.
And
right.
He was like, yeah, sure, no problem. So I'm like, okay, whew, thank you so much. I needed that for the rent.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they were like, oh, Kendrick is performing for Jimmy Kimmel, like, tomorrow. Is there anybody that can style him? They're like, oh, Laylee's in the back. And I was like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
So at the time, Good Kid, M.A.A.D City just came out.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I know. These are all great times for music, you know. And, yeah, I was like, okay, I'm down. At the time, I used probably mostly Rude collection at the time when he was doing, like, bandana tees, like, knit sweaters.
Right.
Very L.A.
Yep.
Very appealing to Kendrick's, you know, whole vibe.
Yeah.
So we brought all that. Very successful. It was fun. And from there, I was like, I really like this. And I don't know if you guys know, Neek is from Antisocial Social Club.
Okay.
So before that, he was working at Stussy.
Wow.
And he was actually like, hey, Stussy shooting for sunglasses, you want a model? I'm like, yo, I love Stussy. And Stussy is the pivot for streetwear.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so they're very much top tier.
Yeah.
And still.
Yeah.
So we actually shot that, and then afterwards, I kind of started shooting for, like, Stussy Women's and then Vans and, like, very much LA brands, but still, you know, on a world spectrum, very, like, great to have up underneath the
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So these were kind of my starts. But again, like, these are a lot of men who are, you know, in these positions, you know, helping a girl out.
Yeah.
So by the time, you know, Easy introduces me to Frank and Gmo, Frank reached out like, hey, so, you know, just want to gauge and hopefully bring you out to Portland. And so we were kind of going back and forth on like, hey, we're going to launch this whole women's thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, definitely love that you always been putting on for the brand.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, this is every day for
every
me.
Every day.
This is natural.
This is what I
wear. Like, yeah. So from there, they're like, let's book that flight.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, here we go.
Huh.
The fact that I went by myself too was like,
yeah. I mean, you're pretty independent in that way. Like, you
for
obviously
sure.
you have, you know, your team and stuff like that, but you're like, oh, I can go.
You know, I mean, I think I get it from my dad too. It's like being in the Army, he's moving a lot, he's all over the place, but he's always just like, you know, look, do what you got to do, because if the opportunity is right there, like, you know, go for it. Just go.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
So, yeah, I was definitely like, this is crazy. Actually, I would say maybe a year and a half before Heron Preston was working at Nike, he was curating this group to come out for this Innovator Summit. Mm. So he invited me along with the group.
Yeah.
A lot of people, which I know today, still Guillermo, Pogi, he's from United Sons and Arrows in Japan. You know, a lot of these people were in the group. Marcelo Berlon.
This is insane.
Again, these are just great men vouching for like young people coming up, especially a woman too. I just definitely felt very blessed. Mm. And so this would be kind of my second trip to Portland.
Okay.
But first time in the Jordan building.
Yeah. Which is an experience of its own.
yes. And very much like a little kid, you know, your chin is definitely up. You're definitely in awe.
Mm-hmm.
Just the atmosphere, people working.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, my gosh, I got a visitor's pass. And just little things like, wow, you guys have lunch here. You get to ride bikes across the campus. It's just so fire. There's a lake.
Yeah, no.
But, yeah, all those great things. And they were just very open conversation, you know, very chill. Gmo and Frank, very chill guys too. And they were just like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I want to do a Jordan 1. You know, at the time I was like, who's asking for a Jordan 1, girl? Pick another one, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just going to throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I said a Jordan 1, and they were like, okay, what would you want to do on it? And I basically mentioned, you know, kind of paying homage to L.A. Mm. And, like, NWA and these, you know, satin jackets, starter jackets, LA fitteds, Dickies, you know, the Sloss and Swap Meet slippers, corduroy. And they're like, corduroy, okay, that's very different. And so we just kind of, honestly, we whipped up that and the Friends and Family Six at the time, which was only Friends and Family. So we whipped up both of those, and we just kind of kept working back and forth after that. But we were pretty much like a year out until it actually came out. I think sometime in between, I'm like, hey, Frank, is this still on? Or like, how does this process work?
Sneaker production is, you know, those timelines can...
It's crazy.
A little bit closer working on special projects like yours. You know, the other ones sometimes it was like 18 months, 24 months. You're like, when is the sneaker coming?
Yeah, we actually wanted to release a clothing with it, but it was going to come... maybe like 12 months after the shoe would be ready. So I was like, nope, let's run it.
Let's get it out there.
In the future.
I mean, like, you know, you think about like over the years, like you've released consistently with the brand. And, you know, in fact, there's a quote from the VP of Jordan Brand's women's business. And she said, like, you know, you inspire young women to stay true to themselves without limitations. Right?
Yeah.
How do you like? How do you feel like you do that? Right. Like, clearly, you root a lot of things in authenticity. But you know, how do you expand upon that thought?
I mean, you know, every day I feel like you just choose yourself. You know, like you wake up every day. I still have that same dream I had when I was younger. What do you want to be lately? It's like, I want to be a model. I want to be a fashion designer. I want to be a stylist. Again, and it's like that same thing. Why can't you have that as an adult?
Exactly.
You know? So I think it's really just, again, waking up every day and like saying like, okay, what does that little girl want to do today?
Yeah.
She wants to play in her clothes. She wants to do a photo shoot. Now she's doing a photo shoot for someone. How can she be creative with that?
Yeah.
So... again, just applying it and, you know, girl, choose yourself, you know, because at the end of the day, like, you're the person that's going to be able to push yourself and reach new limits that, again, you're going to surprise yourself so many times. Like, there's been, even with the 14s, I'm like, I am just, you know, when the millennial pinks were done, I was like, wow, if they were to ask me to do more sneakers, what would I do?
Because
I'm like, I feel like I've reached the height of how I can design now. But even now, I'm like, oh, I actually, you know.
Yeah.
So it's really just like trying to do better for yourself. And now I'm more seasoned. So there's just more flow.
Yeah.
And it's happening naturally.
Yeah.
But it's also very exciting because, again, you don't know what you can do.
Right. To your point, like you, that, you know, there's a good bit of tension, right? And there's a little bit of anxiety and you can like channel that and allow that to level yourself up. I mean, I'm thinking about like this, the 21 collection, right? Where it was inspired by your time in Inglewood High School and in the drill team.
Yeah.
How's that like influenced you from a life and mindset standpoint?
I mean, yeah, this is definitely just always being around strong women, strong fighting women, strong fighting black women, okay? And, you know, always just saying, like, look, you need to be a strong... My grandmother always told me you need to be a strong, independent woman. So kind of taking that and, again, applying to my life or even when you're going through it, remembering those things, you know? You're like, no, no, no. It's okay.
It's okay.
Listen, it's only up from here, girl.
Yeah.
You know? And really just like being open to learning, I feel like has always been a thing for me because, you know, just trying to do the right thing at the right time. I definitely believe in karma and, you know, just putting good things out there and also helping each other. So, you know, it was like I always wanted to pay homage to whoever inspired me for whatever project that was.
Right,
so
right.
I think bringing that back too, it's like there's always like this feeling of nostalgia where I, even like on set, you know, shooting with my drill team coach and then some of her younger girls, it was like, wow, this is crazy. And also she's still doing it, which again is something to say, like, don't give up. If right. you like it, keep going. And the rewards will come as they go, but just stay focused, have tunnel vision.
Gosh, I love it. Like, yeah, the tunnel vision part, right? Because there's so many things that are happening. And I imagine, especially being in LA where there's something happening, even, you know, like, you know, as COVID got a little bit more, you know, tailored, and I don't know what's happening with Delta right now, but, you know, like, things are starting to open up again. And it's like, there's always something calling for your attention.
Right.
And to be disciplined enough and be like, yeah, I'll do that when I get to it. But also, there's these other things that I want to focus on and get to. For you, as you think about what's next, like, what is next? Like, where, what are things maybe in a broad theme that you're interested in?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like I love designing sneakers. Mm-hmm. It's become just like this space I feel like I've just created for my own self, it's like really blossoming. So it's like, again, just seeing the flower and you're watering it and, you know, all those things. It's like so fun to watch and get into. Mm-hmm. Still styling.
Yeah.
And still modeling.
Wow.
So I feel like next would be clothes.
Okay. Okay.
You know, I think a lot of people are like, where your clothing line at, girl? And I'm like, these things take time.
Yeah, no.
And also experiences. Mm-hmm. And, I definitely feel like with me, you're always going to get quality. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I always want to make sure if you're spending with me, the girls and the guys are going to have quality pieces. Yep. And you're going to be able to wear the hell out of whatever I give you. Sometimes things would wear it with caution, obviously the suede or something, but again, always just trying to give you looks and, you know, just a vibe, like where you can get fresh.
Of course.
I think that's always been my thing, especially with designing shoes, is like making sure the girls have a fresh palette. If you look at all my sneakers together, they're all different colors.
Yes.
They're all different, of course, stories. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if, you know, you're a girl and let's say you buy all my shoes and that's all the shoes that you have in your closet, you'll have something for every occasion to match things, you know, to flex in, you know, if you with your mans or your girls, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's really just a feeling and I definitely like to
provide that for folks.
Provide the freshness for you.
Speaking of, Sins called you the queen of sneakers, right?
Yes.
And it sounds like, you know, like you embrace that. Like you love that. Like, is that kind of your ambition to like go out and kind of change things in that way, at least in that perspective?
Yeah, I think my whole thing is you can be the queen of sneakers and still wear heels and still wear sandals and mules and whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it's really just being the queen, first of all, like looking at yourself and saying like, you the queen, let's go. What you feeling today?
Yeah.
What you want to wear? You know, so again, asking yourself these things and, you know, the more that you get, I guess, I wouldn't say better at being yourself because it's like, but the more that you kind of dial into yourself, again, so many things will come up that will just come out.
Yes.
And,
yes,
you know, it's just more inspiration for you too. Yeah. So it's a natural progression. And I think it's really, you're seeing this person naturally progress in their life, and that's how it comes out in the project.
Wow. That's beautiful. That's really beautiful.
It's a vibe, you know. You got to be present, you know.
100%.
You got to be present cuz sometimes, you know, we can get stuck at the past or the future and it's like, no. What you're doing today will also help you in the future.
Yep.
And also like, what is that overall goal? Like is what I'm doing today kind of throwing in a little bit at that overall goal?
Yeah.
Or is it, you know, am I stagnant, you know?
I mean, it's a great thing to think about because there's so many times where you can get caught up in doing pointless things. They're taking all your energy.
Rest is also important, too.
Oh my goodness.
I think they people always say like, oh, workaholic, I'm gonna get this, I'm gonna get this. And it's like, yes, but also your body needs to rest, which can also inspire you too.
Of course, especially if you want to sustain. If you want to be around 20 years from now, it's like you got to be conscious of how you're treating your mental, your spirit, your body, all those things.
We definitely need Pharrell jeans.
Oh my goodness.
For sure.
Seriously.
That's it.
I'm like, what do you do?
I know.
Just like write a book, seriously.
Happy. As you can see the song, but you know, again, it's just living out your dreams, you know.
Yeah.
I always like to look at like, you know, Rockefeller or, you know, things like that, where it's just like throughout time,
they've
Beyonce, Rihanna, throughout time,
consistent,
you know, seasoned,
at a high level,
kept going,
yeah,
kept being a better version of themselves,
yeah,
and like what that flourished to, that's the goal.
So if you think about like your career at this point, right, like you've done incredible things already, and you know, you're at a young age. When you think about other aspiring creatives and business owners and, you know, Black and Filipino women, what advice would you give to them as they're trying to claim their own dreams?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's dive in deep to your heritage. That is where your inspo lies. That's also where like your next steps lie, you know, because I feel like every time I go back and revisit, there's always something that I'm taking that again influences the future. So but I think again, you know, me moving back to LA was just really just something to say like, let's get back into the groove of who you are. And from there, you have my first collaboration.
Wow.
Pivotal moment,
yes,
for women, for sure, but for sure for my own life. And saying like, you know what, I am from LA. But also it's like, I am this girl who has a voice, who a lot of girls feel the same way too. You know, Vashti definitely helped lay that foundation. And that was 7 years before. You know, when I saw her shoe, I was in Leaders in Chicago.
Wow.
Not thinking anything like, you're going to be next or none of that. It was just like, wow, this is so dope. That's all I had with that. Like, you know, I couldn't even afford the sneakers at the time. I was just like, I just move. I'm in college. I love these. And even with that, I was like following her blog. She had Violette, you know, little t-shirts and like lighters. It was super cute, but that was the wave.
Yeah.
Like, she was one of those girls who, you know, stood for women like myself. So it was automatic, you know. I'm like, again, these are a part of the inspo of young girls that I came up on and, you know, moving forward. So, I mean, really also with that, it's like taking what she laid and then like, how can I apply myself to this and then bring all of us and still go towards the future?
Yeah. No, yeah. You know, it's not a solo ride.
You know,
right? It's about bringing other people along on that journey. It's really dope that, you know, you think about it that way. You're honoring the folks that came before and thinking about like who's up next as we build. You know what you're building, because you're building in real time.
I think we're just all surprised on like, you know, this scope of what streetwear has been today. So it's like, okay, every move that we make should always be intentional. You know, and definitely just, you know, have an overall plan, but you know, all those details in between are, again, gonna come day by day, and you know, take it as it goes.
Yeah, 100%. That was Aleli May, model, stylist, fashion designer, and the queen of sneakers. Find out more about Aleli and get access to all of our episodes at Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to connect with us, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Klamath Stories. Our show this week is produced by BJ Fregoso, original music, production, and scoring by Adrian Anaya, and vocals provided by Rosella. And special thanks also to VDOT, Professor H, Jordan Dinwiddie, Nick Pop, Lily Lynn, Nicole Early, Becky Mathai, and Amin L. Falele. I'm Bima, and you've been listening to Klamath Stories.